Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. My guest this week is Enda Nichols, owner of the Arena 7 Entertainment Complex in Letterkenny. After working in the Mount Erical Hotel, Enda moved to America in 1997, where he worked as a barman for 3 years for Danny Doohan. On his return, he opened the Oasis Bar in Letterkenny Shopping Centre with Peter Coyle. In 2004, Enda opened Arena 7, and in 2011, he was named Letterkenny Chambers Business Person of the Year. We began our conversation by discussing the negative online reaction he got in relation to a Facebook post ahead of the reopening of Arena 7 last month. I put it to Enda that it wasn't the response he'd expected.
No, that's for sure. Kieran, yeah, we met last Friday and we decided to the management of, Arena 7 here, and we decided to put up what we thought was a fairly innocent post welcoming people back, delighted to get the doors back open again and welcome our customers through the doors. And we stated unfortunately we weren't able to fully open our complex, but their bar and restaurant would be opening first, and due to government guidelines, opened only to those who are fully vaccinated, and we would be reserving tables of six for adults. And yeah, as you say, I was taken aback by the reaction. Yeah,
you went on the 9th of Noon show with Greg the following morning. What reaction did he get from your appearance in that programme?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say first of all, overwhelmingly, people were supporting us, you know. There were a few, but I have to say I felt there was an orchestrated campaign against us. The negative message came up very, very quick, and I just thought to myself, there was definitely a movement there, and people had got together to say that they were going to go against our decision, whether they were anti-vaxxers or whatever they were. But yeah, listen, I was taken aback, but I have to say the overwhelming amount of messages we've received have been ones of support. And can I say, the first few people that came in to our premises on Monday were people that have health issues, and they stated that they seen the furore or uproar about our opening, and they felt that they were coming into a safe environment. So it had, I mean, and as I said before, Kieran, it's not ideal for us. We don't want to be opening at 50% capacity. We don't want to be looking for people's vaccine certs, but it's the law of the land, and we have to adhere to the law of the land. And I would say it's very easy for people to sit at a keyboard or behind these screens and anonymously put up messages and attack us. But I would ask them, if they had 70 staff, people with mortgages, have to get back to work, you know, what would they do? And another thing as well, people are missing the government would withdraw our support if we were allowed to open and didn't open. So really, I had no choice, you know, and I don't apologise to anybody for that, Kieran.
Were you surprised at the reaction, Enda?
Well, initially I was, I have to say, because I think the type of our business, a fairly inoffensive business, children's play area, bowling, yeah, machines, we do an awful lot of food. And as I always say, Kieran, you know, we cater for people from christenings to funeral lunches, 0 to 90, and everything in between. So I think we're not a very controversial business, and we've had very little, you know, very seldom have we had negative press. And to get so much negative press all of a sudden, I have to say I was quite taken aback. But then when I sat down and looked at some of the profiles, they weren't local people, some of them had fake profiles, and a lot of people I didn't know. There was a few I was surprised at, I'll have to say, but the majority weren't even from the county here. They weren't customers of ours, but they were definitely running with an agenda, and it's definitely the minority.
And are you aware of other restaurant owners and other complex owners that have been subject to similar abuse?
Absolutely, yeah. I got a few phone calls from people, and a few people sent me on different videos and different Facebook posts from different publicans and restaurateurs who received similar levels of abuse. But I mean, to compare us to Stalin and to Hitler, I mean, I think it was just going a bit far, you know.
How have you found the last 16 or 17 months, Enda, since the start of the pandemic back in March last year?
Well, Kieran, I mean, we went on at the very start. I mean, nobody knew, you know, what we were looking into. And, I mean, we thought maybe a month, 2 months at the most. But, listen, I have to say, I actually enjoyed it. What I didn't like was the uncertainty of not knowing when we would be opening. But I have to say, from a family point of view, you know, I have two sons, and it was good, great to spend a lot of time with them at home and doing things that normal families do. That maybe have 9-to-5 jobs, and my mother, as I said before, is elderly, and I'm spending a lot of time at home with my mother as well. Quality time that somebody in with the lifestyle that I would have and the type of business we have, I wouldn't normally get. So definitely, there was an awful lot of positives. You know, and my wife even says she thinks it's added 10 years onto our lives that we're able to, you know, do the normal things, stay at home on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, all day with the family. So listen, you know, I'm a fairly optimistic person, but as I said before, you know, if you get a jail sentence, you like to know when you're getting out. And, you know, and I also have to say, I think the government have come in for an awful lot of criticism. And, you know, from a business that I feel that we have been suppressed the most, or, you know, we're the last to get opened, you know, and I do feel they've done their best. I think they've supported businesses fairly well. And I mean, you know, these people saying they're trying to control our lives, you know, they're not. They need businesses open. They need the VAT receipts coming in. You know, so people are talking about being discriminated against. I feel our business has, I wouldn't say discriminated against, but really we're the last, one of the last sectors to get opened. So, annoying all as it is, I do feel the government are doing their best. And again, it's very easy for people to sit behind keyboards and not have to make the hard decisions to criticise.
How long were you closed in total for, Enda?
Well, Kieran, we were just talking the other day. Out of the last 17 months, we were closed for almost 14 of those.
So when you opened Arena 7 back in 2004, Enda, I'm sure trying to run a business and open and close a business during a pandemic was the last thing on your mind. Can you take me back to maybe when you decided to set up Arena 7 and how you got involved in the hospitality sector?
Well, I suppose my first furor into the hospitality sector was actually working in the Mount Argyll for the McEnough family, and I worked there for a good few years. I started off as a floor boy, and I worked my way up through to the bar, and I was a duty manager then, and went to college in Northern Ireland, where I attended the Northern Ireland Hotel and Catering College. So that's where I learned the trade, you know. But as I often say, it was, you know, it was getting in at the deep end, you know, and certainly the Mount Argyll Hotel was and is a very, very busy hotel. So it was a great place to cut my teeth from the fact that they had such a variety of business. They had the nightclub, you know, bedrooms, weddings, busy restaurant, you know, leisure centre, and to cover all those aspects, you know, it was a great education and great people to learn the trade from. And then I went to America in 1997. And I worked for Danny Doohan out there for over 3 years. And again, you know, going out, you know, a lot of the safety nets from home were gone. And I went out and I had to learn the hard way there. You know, it's a different business again altogether. But the hospital, there's a big emphasis on hospitality, looking after the customers. Learned a lot out there as well. I came back then and opened the Oasis Bar with Peter Coyle. And we were there for a couple of years, and then it was actually Seamus McAteer from County Seat, who was actually my very first boss, my first job for work experience from St. Junan's College, and I used to meet Seamus for a coffee, and Seamus used to always say, "And there's a great opening in Letterkenny for a children's play area." So that's what we looked at first, and then I went and done a bit of research around the country, and I went to Dundalk and Tullamore, and, you know, similar towns to Letterkenny, similar size. And just looked and seen what they had there, and then realised there wasn't enough of a population for the standalone play area, that I needed the bowling. And then the guys in Dundalk says, well, you need the restaurant, which was up my alley. The food and beverage industry was the industry I was really comfortable in. So basically, that's how it started.
And was location a key factor in why you decided to set it up here on Milton Road?
Yeah. I suppose at the time Ireland was a very different country. The Celtic Tiger was in full swing, and I met the local developer PG McDermott. PG was up and going coming at the same time as well, and I have to say, I worked very well with PG, and he gave me a real break that time. And he had the premises with the old chip factory, and he showed me the premises, and actually it was amazing, because when I brought the people over from Brunswick in England to look at the bowling lanes and told them what I was doing, they thought the building was custom made for what I needed. Everything fitted.
So just going back to that 17 years ago now, what exactly was here at the time?
Well, at the time it was a derelict building, and I met PJ McDermott actually one day for lunch, and we were talking. I told PJ what I was thinking about, and he said, listen, I have a premises out the road. If you're interested, we could do some kind of a deal. So we came out and looked at it, and it was a derelict factory. It was the old chip factory. And listen, we got our heads together and we worked together. And as I said, PJ was a great help to me, and God helped me get up and going. So we rented the building off PJ for the first 3 years. And then in 2007, we bought the building off him. And, you know, to this day, I have a very good relationship with him, you know, and we'll be forever grateful for that. He gave us a real leg up on it to start off, and he's a real confident character. And that helped me as well, because, I mean, I remember at the start looking at these lorries coming in from Germany and thinking, how in the name of hell am I going to pay all, you know, the money was going out and out and out, you know. But anyway, we got there in the end. But people like that around me give me confidence.
And in relation to workforce and the number you had in your team, what did you start off with?
We started off with 40. And, I mean, people always ask, how did you get the name Arena 7? There were seven different things in the building at the time. It was the machines, the restaurant, the bowling, the pool, the play area, the cafeteria, and the function rooms. So there were seven different things under the one roof, and then we started to expand. Then we added another function room, because I quickly realised that the real driver here had to be our food and drink. So we had to have plenty of space for people to come and eat and have a few drinks, and then everything else was an add-on, the bowling and the play area. But really our emphasis at the start was food and drink, and it's still very strong today.
Was it a case of trying to figure out what will work better, and what wasn't going to work so well?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was confident we could get the food and drink right, Kieran. I was confident of that. And at the time, they were saying, well, you need 5,000 people per lane of bowling. So we had 10 within a 10-mile radius. So we had 10 lanes, so we needed 50,000 people. So I figured that could be tight, you know. But there was no point going any smaller. And then we knew the play area would work because of the children, and there was a young population around, a lot of young families around. So we had a fair idea that would work, but I just knew that with my background in food and drink, I was fairly confident that I'd be able to drive that, and that would be the driver, which the food and drink and arena here would account for about 65% of our overall turnover. And as I said, everything else works off that. But I don't think any business on its own would stand alone out here. Everything works off each other, you know. But listen, it is trial and error. But I suppose the good thing about it is that if you put indoor entertainment for kids in Ireland, there's a fair chance you're going to be busy, because we generally don't get the weather for outdoor.
And it'll be 6 years ago soon since you entered into a partnership with another Letterkenny businessman, Niall Doherty, purchased the Brewery Bar on Market Square in Letterkenny. How did all that come about?
Yeah, well, I suppose Niall, really, I'd only got to really know Niall about a year before that, and he was coming into Arena for a bite to eat, and we got talking, and he was actually telling me that he was acting for somebody else on the Brewery Bar, but they pulled out, and he came to me at the last minute and asked me would I be interested. And listen, I said, of course I would, you know. And yeah, we started then about 6 years ago, and so far so good. You know, these working relationships sometimes can be difficult, but I think we bring a lot of different things to the table. Niall had a very good tech or mathematical brain, and with his accountancy background, and make sure all that part runs very well, and he's very good in the margins. And then I have a more, you know, front of house, meeting people and things like that. But I have to say that we're blessed with Jimmy Kennedy up there. Jimmy's back from America, and Jimmy's a top class man. Like, and, you know, you just don't get too many Jimmy Kennedys, you know, and Jimmy just really runs the show there. I mean, I'm back in Arena 7 now. There's a lot of other interests going, so it's really Jimmy's baby up there at the minute. He runs the show, and he makes all the calls and that, you know, and really takes all the pressure off us. So we're really, really lucky to have him there.
Jimmy, like yourself, was in America and obviously spent much more time than you did in America. What is the difference between here and America, and what did you learn when you were in America that you brought back with you?
Yeah, well, we often joke, we tell Jimmy we brought him from Times Square to the Market Square. But we actually worked for the same guy. Jimmy worked for Danny Doohan as well. Danny had several bars out there, a few up in the Bronx and a few in Manhattan. And Jimmy, Danny couldn't say enough about Jimmy, how good he was. You know, not that I knew that anyway. But, yeah, the big thing about the difference in America, Kieran, is the barman in America, even though you're employed behind the bar, it's as if you own the bar. You have the respect of owning the bar. And the busier the bar is, the more money you make yourself through the tip system. Whereas here in Ireland, you're guaranteed your wage, even though lately, you know, the tips are becoming a factor. But the big thing about it, the big difference in America was that you were in control of the bar, you ran the bar, and you made the decisions there yourself. And that would have been the biggest fundamental difference.
In relation to the differences between Arena 7 and the brewery, what are the big differences or the main differences between the two establishments?
Well, I suppose, as I said before, food would be the big driver in Arena 7. It's more family-based, as I said before, Kieran. It's really not a 90 and everything in between. Whereas the brewery bar would be maybe, especially since we opened the shack, it's attracting the younger crowd, that 20, 21-year, year old. And indoor then, obviously, would be older. And there'd be a much bigger emphasis on the consumption of the beverage end of it, It's probably a 60-30 split, 60 alcohol, 30 food in the brewery, where it'd be the opposite here at Arena 7.
So the shack is the development at the back of the brewery, and I suppose you were well ahead of the curve, Enda, and when it came to outdoor dining and outdoor drinking resuming, it was nearly ready-made for you at the back of the brewery.
Oh, absolutely, Kieran. I mean, somebody said a foresight was hindsight, we'd all be millionaires, but you nearly think we knew it was coming down the road. I think it's there maybe 4 years, and we'll give Jimmy the credit for having the idea of putting it there, but it turned out to be a great idea, even though there was a couple of Februarys and Januarys, I was looking out the back thinking, what in the hell do we do this for? It seemed to be a bit of a white elephant, but really it has come into its own recently, and also with the council looking for us to take part of the square, and the Sweeney's next door have been very accommodating as well, that we're allowed about a few tables there at night time, but we wouldn't have those tables or those facilities if it weren't for the shack, and it really has blown us away, the level of business we've been getting there.
There are plans to reimagine the square, the final details have been approved. It's an exciting time for the centre of Kenny, and your premises is bang in the middle of that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Kieran. Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting. And we were looking, at the different ideas and what we're coming forward with, and we're very, very happy with what was chosen. And yeah, it looks very exciting, and it's exciting times for Letterkenny. We're just not too sure when it'll come to fruition, but we're definitely looking forward to it, and it's very, very encouraging going forward.
You were named Letterkenny Chamber Business Person of the Year in 2011. How satisfying an achievement was that for you?
Yeah, I have to say it was a shock. Yeah, when I got it, Patrick McGinley. Patrick was the president of the Chamber of Commerce at the time, and we had a function in the Silver Tassie. Yeah, it was nice. It was sort of an accolade or recognition of the work we had done, because it was looking back now. The recession came in 2007. And we were just coming out the other end, really, of the recession, and it was, I think it was more or less that we were able to keep the ship, steer a ship through those turbulent waters, those turbulent years, and to keep almost 60 staff employed. And I remember at the time saying, the recent recipient of the Hall of Fame had been Pat Boner, and Jim McCormick had recently won it, and I just remember saying at the time that I had looked at those people. During the boom times, they just kept a very, very steady ship, and they came out the other end with very successful businesses. And those type of people would have been inspiring to me, just to see how the success didn't go to their heads, but they were able to keep the ship steady and to come out the other end through the turbulent waters. But yeah, it was a nice recognition, And as I often said, Kieran, not just for me, but for Claire, for my family, and for all the staff at Arena 7, it was recognition of their hard work.
How difficult was it being in business during that recession, Enda?
Yeah, well, Kieran, I mean, I suppose anybody will tell you, it was quite difficult, and I remember a lot of bleak days, and getting, I can tell you, I go down on my knees many a day and asking God for help and a bit of guidance. But at the same time, I had good people around me, and I have to mention, I brought in Jared McGinley at that time, and Jared was excellent, and Jared is an excellent head and for figures as well, and he really was a great wingman, and kept me right, and any negotiations or discussions we had with the bank, Jared was there, and we also brought in Brian O'Dowd from Fortis Management, came in and helped us immensely as well. So the likes of those people, and I mean, I often think that people that are successful in life are people that recognise their weaknesses and bring in people to strengthen their weaknesses, and definitely those were two people that came in, and I don't think I would have got through it without them. And Jared was a very, very stabilising effect on me, and it was clear and precise, and knew exactly what to do. And when we went to the negotiations with banks and talking to banks, and there was a lot of, and in the middle of that, people forget we had a couple of very, very harsh winters. So our Christmas season was wiped out. A time that you were looking at maybe bring in a bit of revenue and tide us over for January and February, the quiet months, and they just didn't happen due to the weather. So it felt as if all the gods were conspiring against us at the time. But I have to say, you know, well again, for the likes of Jared McGinn, I could never thank them enough for what they've done and the effort they put in to, you know, just to help steer the ship through that. But I would also say, Kieran, you know, at the time, and again, you know, this will be probably controversial, but I felt with the banks and that, you know, I was straight up with the banks at the time, and any negotiation, any time they rang, I answered. Any meetings they wanted, we met them. And it wasn't easy. It had been easy for me to turn my back and walk away maybe at times, and many's the time I felt like it. But
were you at that point at any stage, end up where you felt like walking away?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The pressure, yeah.
Is there one particular point that stands out in your...
Absolutely.
Talk to me about that.
Kieran, I'll never forget it. It was during one of those December mornings, and the pressure was on, and the bookings were cancelling left, right and centre, and the bank were ringing looking for this and wondering why this wasn't happening and wondering why that wasn't happening. And I just remember just getting a feeling that I can't do this anymore. I wasn't long married, you know, I had a couple of young children, and I just said to myself, I'm either going to end up in a grave or St. Connell's Hospital with this pressure. And I'm not a spiritual person by any means, or I'm not a very holy person, I'm not Bible greedy by any means, but at that stage I just went down on my hands and knees and I just asked God for a bit of help and a bit of guidance. And I have to say, Kieran, I just got an overwhelming clarity at the time. Go up to the bank and just tell them, this is it, I just can't continue anymore. The pressure's too much, the debt's too heavy, you're going to have to work with me there. Because at that stage I felt I was taking all the pressure. It was on my shoulders and nobody else seemed to be. It was all, the answers had to all come from me. And I felt, and I really did feel this, and I believe, you know, what I did believe was, okay, I went and got the loans and got the money, you know, but there was other people that were shareholders in this as well, including the banks, and they were going to have to meet us some way and talk to us and help us out and work with us to get through this, because I knew fundamentally the business was strong, but it was just a bit debt heavy at that time. So I remember going up to meet them and saying, and they were going to, you know, I just said, listen, guys, I'm not putting up with this any longer. I can't afford to do this, and it's affecting my health. And, you know, they came around, and at that stage they knew I was serious. And, you know, they think their attitude changed that time as well. And, listen, they sat down and things started to turn from that moment on, you know, and they started to work with us, and we all worked together, and we did come out the other end.
What is the biggest lesson you've learned?
Well, I think here, number one is to be honest with people, be straight up with people, you know, and sometimes we tend to try and bury our heads in the sand, and it doesn't work. And even though it can be very uncomfortable at times and you don't want to do it, be straight up with people and tell them as it is. And I think people respect you for that, you know, be it banks or whoever, you know, just tell them, be honest with yourself. And there's no point, you know, you can go through life living a lie, or, you know, expecting different things to happen, expecting miracles to happen, and sometimes they just don't happen. And you just have to be real with yourself. But what I would say as well, for anybody that's going into, you know, maybe looking to be, you know, becoming self-employed or starting a business or whatever they're doing, the thing about life's short, and I can see that now, it passes by very, very quick. You know, and somebody said one time, if you enjoy what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So I have to say, deep down, I love what I do. I love meeting people. And, you know, sometimes the schools will come in and I do little talks and that for the students. And I just talk about the importance of relationships with people and being able to talk to people. And, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm going to be a guard or a teacher or a priest or a bank manager or a builder or a painter or a plasterer, businessman, self-employed, whatever. You've got to have a good relationship with people and like to work with people. And fundamentally, that was the big thing for me.
And if you had followed your childhood dream job, what would you be doing now?
Well, I'd be retired after playing goals for Celtic, maybe. But no, listen, it's funny how I ended up in this business, because my mother and father wouldn't. My mother and father were both nurses, and nobody else in the family, even though my father was born and reared in Annagry, in Jack's Place, which is now the famous Cash and Ore Hotel. And they're doing extremely well down there with the McDevitt families, who'd be cousins of ours. So maybe the hospitality was there somewhere. But I honestly, from when I started in the Mount Dairygill, I always had that thing, I'd love to have my own business. And I have to say, Kieran, it's not out of a want, you know, to be very wealthy, because I think most people will tell you they're self-employed. There's not a lot of money left in the pot when everything's paid, you know, in Ireland and maybe other countries. So I always just wanted that, to have my own business. And really the perks for me, what I get out of being self-employed, is I love giving people employment. I love the business here because there's parties coming in. You know, there's anniversaries, there's birthday parties, there's wedding parties, and you know, there's a nice feel around here, and people have a, you know, a feel good vibe. So I enjoy that. I enjoy giving employment, and I would have to say money is wouldn't be top of the list for me, and I genuinely mean that. It's not making money. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy seeing staff coming in. I had great buzz this week seeing staff coming back. Even Patrick, well, my waiter, Patrick's one of the waiters here. He's here a long time in Arena 7. We were just chatting last night how great it was to be back at work, and the buzz and people coming in, people happy, talking to our customers. That is invaluable for somebody like me. Now, somebody else may have a different idea, but that is genuinely how I feel about it.
And what has the mood been like among the customers, Enda?
Yeah, listen, Kieran, as you alluded to at the very start, you know, we've got a bit of a knockback with a bit of the negativity, but as I said, the people that have come in here, especially with health issues, it says, listen, they're coming into a nice, spacious, clean, mostly all newly renovated premises. They feel happy. They love being back out again. They love having the few drinks and the bite deep. They love having it handed to them, which is a big thing. And I was laughing because on Monday evening there was a couple that came in and I took their order and I made a couple of mistakes, and normally they'd be complaining, but this couple, they said they were so happy to get out of the house and sit down and have a meal handed to them. They didn't care what they got. So there's been a real good vibe in the place this last few days.
You mentioned the satisfaction you get in relation to providing employment. How many are working here in the end at the minute?
Well, at the minute, we have 70 employed here and we have 40 back working. As again, because we don't have our bowling, our laser, our play area and our machines up and running yet and our cafe. But once we get everything back going again, we'll be back up to 70 people.
It's a big team.
It's a big team, and at least 50% of those are full-time and the rest are part-time. So yeah, it's good. But again, it's good to see them all coming back. And can I say, we have lost no staff during the pandemic. Every one of the staff that has been here before, they're all back again.
And you dipped your toe in politics for a brief period. I'd like to take you back to that time. What was the attraction of politics back in the day, and when did you serve as a local councillor?
Ah, well, Kieran, I have to say that time it was a really exciting time. You know, I mean, politics is funny. One of the councillors rang me after he seen the bit of grief we got on Facebook, and he says, Andy, listen, he says 90% of the stuff they get now is just negativity, you know, a lot of abuse and stuff like that on social media. But at that time, Kieran, it was the mid-90s. Dr. McDade was flying at the time, minister in the town. He wasn't a minister at that stage when I got in, but, you know, there was a real feel-good factor about the town, and there was a real energy around, and the country was flying. And I mean, what he done for Donegal, I don't think anybody will ever have as big an impact in Donegal as what Dr. McDade had. And it was just so exciting. And we had Bernard McGlinchey here locally and the local council, and I stood in 94. And I mean, I was just 21 at the time, so I was quite young. And I lost out narrowly to my good friend Jimmy Hart. And but then Lawrence Blake stepped down, so I stood in for Lawrence then for a year before I went to America. But listen, I absolutely loved it. Probably came a bit early for me. And I would often thought I would like to go back into it again, but my wife assures me that I'll not be going back into it again.
Is that your final answer in relation to that one?
I think it is, yeah. But I have to say it was a real exciting time with Dr. McDade and that, and the team we had built up locally here. And, you know, more recently in the local elections, I've been helping Charlie McConnell, Logan, Pat the Cope, and Kieran Brogan and that as well, you know. But listen, people know I'm Fianna Fáil man, I'm a member of the party, you know, we're going through a bad run at the minute, like, but again, taking a lot of flack from people and things that, you know, very, very difficult times. I mean, this pandemic's been thrown on us. Nobody knew what was coming, you know, and I certainly don't think I'd like to be there at the minute.
What's your view overall of the national political picture, Enda?
Yeah, well, listen, things are definitely changing, you know. I think civil war politics is finally, you know, gone in Ireland, you know, and I think it's maybe probably time Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael looked at maybe some sort of an amalgamation. We see Sinn Féin coming very strong and some excellent talent in Sinn Féin, and even locally with Piers Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin. I mean, we're very, very lucky to have such a high calibre of TDs and probably future ministers and leaders of Sinn Féin. But they seem to be the party that's up and coming at the minute. And what they have done is they have really got the young people out, which is great to see, and getting young people vitalised and get them involved in politics, which had been missing for a long time. And I think Fianna Fáil would have missed that connection, but they've really capitalised that on that, and fair play to them. And I would say we're going to see Sinn Féin in government fairly soon, you know, in the next few years. And listen, good luck to them. I wish them all the best.
In your 1 year tenure as a political representative, did you learn a lot, and did you take any of those lessons into your business life, Enda?
Yeah, well, again, I suppose I learned a lot about cooperation. And I mean, we can see things at election time, people can get fairly heated up and get, people can fall out and things like that. But I think that at the end of the day, people have to work together. And I mean, I often think across every political divide, and even to this day, I have friends that are members of Sinn Féin, I have friends that are in the DUP, I have in the North, I have friends in the UUP, I've met Arlene Foster on a few occasions, Martin McGuinness, Gerry Adams, and I think, you know, it's important that, you know, sometimes again, we have this sort of culture where we're snapping at people, and if I don't agree with you, then you're my enemy, I don't want to talk to you. But I think it's, that generation of respect, and that's very much as there among the public representatives. They sit down, they work together. We see it happening in Northern Ireland, we see it happening locally, we see it happening, at a national level in Ireland as well, you know. So you have to work with people, and I think that's it. And at the end of the day, anybody that puts their head up to go for election, they deserve respect.
And finally, Enda, back to business. What lies ahead for yourself and your businesses?
Well, I suppose in the immediate future, Kieran, is just to get back up and running and get things settled down. At the minute, we're going with government supports and things like that, but it'd be nice when they're all gone, we're back just to the normal rough and tumble of business and getting people in the door and getting your bookings. I'm looking forward to getting everything open here again. And listen, that's really a matter, as going back to the Jim McCormick and Pat Boner, you know, it's really a matter of steering the ship now. It's going to be fairly volatile, I would say, for a while. I'm sure there's going to be a price to pay for all this money that was spent, so I'll certainly not be doing too much expansion for a while. It'll be just keep steering the thing, and hopefully we'll come out the other end of this, which I'm sure we will. You know, we're blessed in this town. We have a great town, we have a great county, and I mean, the support we've got is second to none. You know, and we've great people, we've great politicians as well here, so I'm fully confident in the future. There may be a bit of rough times ahead in the near future, but overall I think we're going to come out of it a lot stronger. But personally, it'll just be keeping things nice and steady for the next year or two.
Enda Nicholas, owner of Arena 7, thanks for taking the time today to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guest, Enda Nicholas. Thanks to Kevin Fury on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@heidenradio.com.